Hope you didn't have to use your boat to get here. But I'm glad that you're here. Let's look again a few moments here at John chapter 13. This is where I'm going to be this morning, talking about living an authentic life. The last few weeks we've been talking about what the signs are that you and I have spiritual life in us. We've talked about how you and I should be representatives of God on this earth, how we're to be salt and the light of Jesus. We spoke last Sunday about how we can have peace in this turbulent world that we live in by prayerful, daily trust in Jesus. But being representatives of God on this earth as salt and light and living a peaceful life in a turbulent world depends on our commitment to Jesus Christ. It does. When we're committed to Christ, spiritual life in us will show. And by the way, if you missed any of these messages, they're on the website, our website, which is fbclex.com. All right? There's a little commercial there for you. Let's consider another sign of spiritual life today. It's talking about living an authentic life or serving God, living a real life for Jesus. So let's look at the scripture this morning, John chapter 13, beginning with verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." So first, I want us to consider what should be our motivation for serving. Jesus' motivation, you might say, was love. Love was at the center of what he did here for his disciples. And love was at the center of everything that he did. As verse 1 said, he loved them to the end. So it was his love for his disciples. And truly, it was his love for us that took him to the cross, right? And the fact that he gave his life for us and he rose again. But when the verse there says he loved them to the end, he wasn't speaking just about time, but he was speaking to them about the extent of his love. He loved his disciples with the full extent of his love. By the way, he loves you like that right now. Isn't that great news? Jesus loves you with the full extent of his love. Now, loving one another is not always an easy thing to do, is it? It's challenging at times. Some say that it's the hardest thing in life to do. But when we're Jesus' disciples and he loved us the way that he loved us, we're to love others with that type of love. And Jesus demonstrated that in our passage today. He washed feet. You say, "There's no way that I would ever do that. I'm not washing anybody's feet." Well, he's not asking us to wash each other's feet. He's asking us to be humble, to serve others, to love others like he did. And in that group of people that Jesus washed, in that group of disciples where he humbled himself and washed their feet, there was two disciples in there in particular that weren't very loving, kind of hard to love. One of those was Peter. Now I'm talking about what Jesus already knew about these men. See, Jesus already knew that Peter was going to deny him later. And yet Jesus washed his feet knowing that at the time. You'll guess who the other one was, right? Judas. Judas Iscariot. Jesus knew that Judas would betray him. Yet he still humbled himself and knelt down and washed the feet of the one who would later betray him to be killed. Now I want to ask you this morning, would you do that for someone that having that knowledge? It's not easy. The easiest thing that you and I could do is just ignore people that are not very loving, right? Try to ignore them. Try to work around them. And just love the people that love us. That's easy, isn't it? It's easy to love people who love us. Jesus gave the model here that we can and we must love and serve others as disciples of Christ. That should be our motivation for serving. But now notice what the benefits of serving. By the way, I'm not trying to sell you a bill of goods this morning. I'm trying to tell you what Jesus has done here and what he wants to do through us here if we'll let him, if we'll let him do that. Now, not only will service to others benefit the person served, but it'll also benefit us. First off, serving others is going to test the authenticity or the realness of our faith. Are you a real Christian this morning? Are you real? That's a good question to ask, isn't it? That's something you just assume everybody in here is a real Christian, right? But notice Jesus washed the disciples' feet in the seclusion of the upper room. He did it privately. He didn't seek kudos for himself. He wasn't trying to put on a show. He wasn't trying to blow trumpets and draw attention to his service. He didn't put it on Facebook or Twitter, right? Our service to others is the same way. See, Jesus washed the disciples' feet in the privacy of that upper room. So we serve not to draw attention to ourselves and in some way have everybody think that we're the greatest thing that ever hit Christianity. We want to serve people in an humble way like Jesus did there. We serve people not to draw attention to us, but draw attention to him, right? And you'll get attention to him if you serve people in his way, because that's not very common in the world. It's almost unheard of, right? Humble service and helping other people in this way. So our service tests the realness of our faith. But it also teaches us about humility. Verse 3 told us that Jesus had come from God and was going back to God, yet it was he that stooped down to wash the disciples' feet. Well, what a contrast that was. The way his disciples had just acted at the Passover meal. We're told in Luke 22 that at the Passover meal, the disciples were arguing back and forth about who was the greatest. I got news for you this morning. You're not the greatest. And I'm not the greatest. Who is the greatest? Jesus is the greatest, right? He's the greatest. If we think we're the greatest, we need to consider that Jesus, like the verse said, having come from God and was going to return to God, and who Jesus was, and the fact that he humbled himself to wash feet, if we think we're the greatest, would we wash feet? Now think about what Jesus did. The disciples were around a low table in which they were seated on the floor. And sometimes there wasn't a table at all. Sometimes it was just like a rug, you might say, with the food spread out on that, and they were just kind of sitting around that area. Jesus rose from the floor. He removed his outer garment, the scripture said, and he took a bowl of water and a towel, and he began to wash stinky, dirty feet of fishermen, of all things. Jesus did something for them that they'd never done for each other and probably never would. What if Jesus were on the scene now and he came in here this morning and he wanted to wash your feet? Would that not be the most humbling thing ever? Would you be like Peter and say, "Well, Jesus, you're never going to wash my feet"? But Jesus says, "If I don't wash your feet, you'll have no part with me." Now, what he was talking about with Peter there is the fact that he washes us of our sins. If Jesus doesn't wash you of your sins, you have no part with him, right? You've got to trust Jesus as your Savior in order to do that. But here, he is washing the feet of those disciples. And when he was finished, he put his outer garment back on and he sat back down among them and said, "Do you understand what I've just done for you?" So think of that this morning. Jesus comes in and he washes our feet. And it's kind of confusing. You think, why would Jesus do that anyway? He's trying to make a point, right? He's trying to make a point. Do you understand what I've done for you? So we too should understand about serving. There's some insights here that we've got to understand if we're going to be servants in the world, as Jesus demonstrated to his disciples. Verse 12 said, when he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments, resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, for you are right, for so am I. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." In other words, if Jesus served, then so should you and me, right? If Jesus served, and if he humbled himself to do that, then so should you, so should I. That's what he's given us to do as his disciples. Yet most of the time, what you and I do is absolutely nothing, right? Is nothing. We think somehow that we have served Jesus just by showing up at church on Sunday morning. Well, I've served the Lord today. I've graced him with my presence. What does that sound like? I had a lady tell me that one time. And I'm not sure she even caught it herself. She's talking about, "Oh, I wish so-and-so would serve the Lord." Well, what she meant was, "I wish they'd come to church." And I wanted to tell her, I don't know why I didn't. I guess I wasn't as bold back then as I am now, perhaps. You don't serve the Lord by coming to church. You serve the Lord, or you come to church to worship him. We should come to church on Sunday morning to celebrate the service that it's already been done, right? That's why we come to church. We gather to worship the Christ that we have served others faithfully all week. If Jesus served, then so should we, right? Verses 12 through 14 teach us that the things of the Bible that we have knowledge about, that should produce accountability with us. If you want to realize the gap between who Jesus was and who his disciples were, think about who they both were. Jesus was God, right? God in flesh. The scripture said he had come from God and he was going to God. The disciples were sinners. Saved sinners, I would hope at this point, after hanging out with Jesus, right? But sinners nonetheless. And Jesus, the Son of God, stooped to wash the feet of dirty sinners. And so in so doing, he taught his disciples and he teaches us about serving others. How are people ever going to know about Jesus if they don't see some of that from us, right? Most of the time I think people, and I'm guilty as well, being around people for a given amount of time and then wondering if they even knew that I was a Christian or not, because I'd done nothing to really show that I was. You know, it wasn't that I was just a nice guy, right? I can be a nice guy. And there's lots of nice people in the world, isn't there? Lots of great people in the world, but they don't mean they're a Christian. They may just be nice people. That may just be the way their mom and dad raised them to be that way. They're good law-abiding citizens. They've never been in prison or never been on drugs and all these kind of things. They're just nice people. But how will people ever know the love of Jesus if all we can do is kind of turn up our noses at them because they're different from us? We don't want to serve them because they're of a different color skin or different nationality or whatever. And they're not like us. They're not like us, so we don't want to serve them. They're not part of us. Notice again verse 14, Jesus said, "If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also," it says, "you also ought to wash one another's feet." Ought is the key word here. If Jesus is the Lord of the universe that would serve you in such a way, then you should do the same for one another, right? If serving this way wasn't beneath Jesus, it should not be beneath us either, should it? Verse 15 says, "For I have given you an example, that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him." We are not greater than Jesus. News bulletin, we're not greater than Jesus, right? What makes us think then that we don't have to do the things that he did? What makes us think that we don't have to humble ourselves to serve our community? Somehow we thought maybe that we're greater than Jesus, so we don't have to do that. We're not greater than Jesus. And we're not talking here about washing feet, are we? See, Jesus gave that as an example. And what a great example it was, because in that time, the person of the household that washed the feet of visitors that came into the house, that was the lowest job of the lowest servant in the household. We're not greater than Jesus. Jesus did the duty of the lowest servant in the household, doing the lowest possible thing. This example that he gave us. We're not greater than Jesus, are we? We're not greater than Jesus. We're talking about humble service. We've got to understand that about what Jesus has taught us. The disciples had seen the ultimate example of humility. It was right before their very eyes. And they were responsible to do the same. Jesus says, if I did it, you ought to do the same. You ought to do the same. Unselfish acts of humble service to others so that they may know and see our Savior, right? our Savior, Jesus. Verse 17, he says, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. You want to be blessed? You know, a lot of times when we shop somewhere, we check out at the register and somebody will say, have a blessed day. You've heard that often, haven't you? Have a blessed day. I think that's more in the South than it is in the North, by the way. If you go up there, people don't necessarily, even where I'm from in Missouri, down here I'm used to meeting people on the road and they'll wave, you know, and I'll just wave back. I don't know who you are, but waving. They don't do that up there. They just are going where they're going. They don't care who you are. But down here, it's the South, right? We're friendly down here, aren't we? I love the South, don't you? I love Mississippi. I love it here. Been here for a while now. Have a blessed day. Maybe we should say, hey, you want to know how really to have a blessed day? Do what Jesus did. Right? You want to have a blessed day? Then here's what makes my day blessed. I know Jesus as my Savior. See, I just gave you a couple of tips right there. No charge. You want to have a blessed day? Tell somebody about Jesus. That's how you have a blessed day. That's how you have a blessed day. The people that I work with, of course, you know all this junk about, well, you know, in the workplace you can't talk about Jesus. You can't do this and that. And I might get in trouble for some of the things that I have done. But you know, when somebody's hurting and you know it, and they're your coworker, then I'm going to tell them what helps me when I hurt. What helps me when I hurt is because I know Jesus. He makes all the difference in the world, doesn't he? He makes all the difference in the world. Or someone's having a hard time or they're struggling with something, you know what makes the difference? Whether or not you know Jesus. It really does. It really does. No. That's the difference. Want to have a blessed day? Be Jesus to a hurting world. That's how you have a blessed day. So when somebody tells you this week, and they probably will, have a blessed day, I want to challenge you to tell them why your day is really blessed. Say, my day's already blessed because I know Jesus. I dare you to do that. And then come back and tell me next week, right? Do that. Let's pray. Lord, help us to be humble servants of yours. Help us to love people that are not too loving in the world's eyes. Help us, Lord, to be faithful witnesses of yours. there's a lot more important things to think about in this world than our own flesh and selfishness. We must think about the fragileness of human life and the fact, Lord, that you put us here, God, to point people in the right direction. So, Lord, help us to do that. I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ here in this room today that you would empower them and to be witnesses in this world of your saving grace. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.